Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Annie, thanks so much for joining us on the Organize 365 podcast.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
I'm so excited to dive into your teacher story and how you helped us with the education workbox that is coming out now. But first, how did you find Organize 365?
So a long while back, many years now, I feel like I read the Marie Kondo book when that was all the rage because all of my girlfriends read it and said, you have to read this. And so yes. I did. And that helped me realize that I had a problem in my life with all the stuff. And so that got me on the organization trail, so to speak. And I was at that same time also discovered podcasts. So I was on Spotify and your podcast popped up and I listened to it and just literally binged everything, everything. So.
Do you know how long ago that was?
It's been at least, I want to say 5 years, but.
Okay. Long time. Long time. Okay. Well, tell us all about your education background. Like how long have you been teaching? What grades? Tell us the whole story.
Okay. So I started substituting right out of high school. I had got my associate's degree and I was pursuing a degree in biology and I was interested in all that kind of medicine and those kinds of things. And so while I was subbing, I ended up falling into a long-term position for a middle school math teacher. And I loved it. And so it just changed the whole trajectory. And so I did that for 15 years-ish. And then—
Wow.
Yeah. So middle school is where my heart is. So I taught middle school math, absolutely love the kids. And then from there, I had the opportunity to be an instructional coach for our district. So I've been doing that the past 7 years, which I can't believe it's been 7 years. So I've been doing that on the district level. So I work not just with the middle school now, but with, you know, K-12. And then also newly, I started being an adjunct professor for teachers or actually college students that are going to be teachers. So that is my newest education endeavor. So.
Wow. Okay. So where do you live? Have you always lived in the same state the whole time?
Yes. So I live south of Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay, great. So what do you love about teaching and being a teacher?
So what I love everything about it, but the biggest thing that is that touches my heart is that it's the opportunity to really impact others. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the biggest piece is I get the opportunity to be with our youth and our teachers and our administrators and everybody in education and that impact. And then that impact from them to me, like that's just, I just love it. I love to go to school every day and learn and be part of that whole environment.
So then what's your biggest challenge with being a teacher?
So, oh my gosh, the challenge is definitely there are so many things that pull my focus away from that impact. So whether it be, it's the administrative tasks, it's all the things we have to do just to keep the job going that have nothing to do with the job, if that makes sense. So that seems like it's been more and more and more to the detriment of our profession because many teachers are leaving because they're just like, all of these things we have to do and when are we supposed to do it? And that is really where it messes with you is that organization of your time, because you will go down all these rabbit trails of administrative tasks and not get to do that impact. And then it doesn't fill your bucket and then people are leaving. So yeah, I'd say that's the biggest challenge.
Yeah. I think I saw a meme on, you know, one of the social media channels, probably Instagram. And it was a teacher. And she's like, teaching is the only job where you can work first in order to do your work. And then at the end of work, you do work for the work that you just did. And that's just the lesson plans. Like, you have to lesson plan in order to teach students. And then after you teach students, you have to grade whatever you gave them. And then you have to plan for the next day. That's without any of the additional administrative things that are done. And I think that, and I mean, I was a teacher and I understand the amount of administration that needs to be done. I don't think if you're not a teacher or you don't know a teacher, you do not understand the literal 10 to 20 hours a week of administration that is on top of planning the lessons, teaching the lessons, and grading the things. So if you're teaching, you know, a seven and a half hour class day, you have to spend at least an hour a day planning. And that's if you're a seasoned teacher. If you're not a seasoned teacher, you're spending 7 hours a day planning because you have to literally teach yourself and then think about how you're going to teach it and then actually teach it. And then, oh my gosh, did that work? Didn't it? Like you literally spend like, I don't know, 30 hours a week planning your first year teaching. You spend 28 hours a week planning your second year teaching. It's like after you've done it 5 years, the same grade, maybe you're down to 5 to 10 hours a week just planning. And then you've got to grade and report. This is not, I mean, I don't think people realize how much just the actual job does not encompass any administration that we're going to go into.
Yes. And for sure, it was never the same. Because if you really, you know, are teaching students and looking at best practices, then we know, like even with the science of reading, the research that's out there, it changes and we learn more. And then we reflect on our practice, then we refine our practice. And so the lesson planning starts all over again, because now we know better, we do better. And it's just always, you just never get, I think the vision is open to page three in the textbook. This is day one. Open, you know, this is
never happens.
And that's not it. That's been gone many, many moons ago. So for sure.
Yeah. The act of just teaching. And then even if you do, let's say you're teaching reading and you teach these 20 trade books each year and you teach third grade or something. By the time you do that same trade book three times, you're like, I'll find another trade book. Like, you want to be engaged and excited as well. So you talk to other teachers. Oh, I didn't think I could do that trade book. Okay. I'm going to substitute this one out for that one. Like, we're lifelong learners. Hello, we're teachers. Like, we are always wanting to grow and do more. So the act of teaching is double the amount of times that you're actually forward facing with students. So when I think about it in my current role in Organize 365, like, I'll spend two whole days in meetings with the team, but then I also have to spend at least a full day in podcast recording. And then I have to spend a full day in email reaching out to people who I could be on their podcast, or they could be on my podcast, or I met them at a conference so we can have a conversation so we can get to know each other more so they could be on the podcast. That's not even counting creating new courses and products and talking to the market. Like, the amount of work that I even do inside of the office, you could get so stuck in the administrative tasks. So if you're in the business world and you hear people say, you need to work on the business instead of in the business, companies tend to default to the administrative in the business tasks, and they lose the higher level on the business goal of where you're going. Teachers have the exact opposite problem. They spend their entire day with students, and before and after students are there, thinking about where are they taking students? What do they need to learn? How do they need to give that to them in a relevant way in which they're interested and love the learning and actually move it in and keep it in them? And then they do all that all day long, Monday through Friday, from early in the morning till late at night. And then they go, oh, shoot, I also have to work in the teaching career, which is filing the paperwork and submitting the requisitions and making the copies and all these things. And so it's like the opposite problem of business. So if in business, you don't have enough vision, you end up just feeling like you're living Groundhog Day. In teaching, if you don't have enough administration time, you feel like you are literally the chicken running around with your head on cut off, on fire, whatever. Not pretty. Yes. It's not pretty for anyone that is seeing you in that environment.
Absolutely.
And so how have you resolved that for yourself? Like that balance between being the dynamic, awesome teacher that you are with a vision for your students and the impact you want to make and the profession that you are a part of?
So really it's about, so when you talk about organizing and outside of education and you talk about it being a missing skill, that's kind of how I look at all of this is, and that you've given me that we look at in education, a kid's misbehavior, what skill are they missing? How can we support them? What do they need? And so we teach that and so on and so forth. So then in working with your team, with the educator workbox and stuff, that's kind of that same idea, because that's what it did for me, is it allowed me to really take all of the chaos and say, okay, here's my educator workbox. Here are the things that are my priority physically, because, you know, everything's digital in the digital world. And I get that, yet somehow there's magically paper still everywhere, but there is this digital world, but it's this black hole. You know, you go in there, you can't find your focuses. You might pull up this, but there's hundreds of files. Whereas my educator workbox is right here. Here's my focuses. And every week when I plan, I make sure that my focuses are on my calendar and that that is my priority, so that my impact is on the things I need it to be on. And that my administrative tasks, following all the principles from learning through your program, a task stack, those, I only look at my email during this time, everything, you know, like all of those types of skills I have weaved throughout. And the great part about that is with my job as an instructional coach is then I can take that information and help take those new teachers or teachers that I'm working with, and I can look at their piles and I can think about them like slash pockets, and I can think about them like focuses. And it's like, but it makes it physical. So you have that Swiss cheese thing you bought from Amazon and you were showing on one of your Insta stories. So that is what the box is for me. So it's a lot of it is digital for me, but it's that physical act of what's there and what I need to go through and what I need to have as my priority and to not let go of. So each building I work with has a slash pocket with their focus and goals. Each teacher, I have a slash pocket with their focus and goals. And so just taking that and making it for my administrator, here's your, what you need with your slash pockets, with your stuff, so that you know, for your professional development. And so just organizing all the people within the education field, it just goes, it's just a, it's the skill. And then it just needs to go to all the different people in our profession. And then I think that to me is what is so wonderful about the Educator Workbox.
So are you using the Educator Workbox for your lesson plans?
Well, I don't do lesson plans.
Because oh, I'm anymore because you're coach, coordinating.
So,
okay.
Right. So the
would you have?
I might have used like the lesson plans I do with a teacher to co-teacher, whatever with them. Like I would do lesson plans like that, but no, I would not have.
I wouldn't either.
So it's definitely more of that organization of the more administrative tasks for me.
Me too. So would you have put the papers that you needed to grade in the educator workbox?
No, but what I have done, interestingly enough, with my college students is I have a separate box for them. And because I don't get to physically see them, they are a slash pocket. So all my interactions with them, I print their email, you know, so that they have this human form because I don't see them. It's totally asynchronous. So they each have a slash pocket so that I can give them the attention, like the human that they are. But again, it's that physical representation of the person that I can't, that exists out there in the world, but I don't see them or have any interaction with them other than online.
Yes. Okay. I want to dive into that. So I did want to make it really clear though, that we are not saying that this is a different way to do lesson plans or grading or to run your classroom.
No.
Because if it was each grade, each building, each state, there'd be so many differences. It would be really hard for us to create any kind of a generalized organizational system that would work. So this is not the solution for that. You're an awesome teacher. You don't need us to help you with your lesson plans. It is the in the business part of the administration of being in the education profession right now that does not have any organizational support that Organize 365 is trying to solve. So now I want to talk about these different education boxes that you've created, Annie, because they are in different categories. They are you as a professor in college. There are you leading different schools. You know, they're very much exactly the administration of education. So I love that you said that you have your college students each represented in a slash pocket and that you print out their emails. I do the same thing. So I've just gotten back from a conference. I met many, many people, and I'm creating all these slash buckets of all these people that I either met on LinkedIn or in person or through email. And it, I kind of feel a little bit silly creating like 30 slash buckets right now of all these little fake people in this box, but I don't know any other way. I'm a very visual learner. I do really good in person, but we aren't in person, like just because we don't even live in the same state. So for me, these 30 slash buckets, I will label them with the people's names. I will print out the email correspondence. I've taken LinkedIn messages and dropped them into a Google Sheet and printed that out so I can see it. I have printed texts off of my phone. I put them in there. So then I'll pick up each of these folders and I'll probably end up touching each one about 6 times in the next 6 weeks. So I'll spend a day and I'll go through all of them and I'll be like, oh, did they follow up on the email? Did I schedule a Zoom call with them? Did I send them what I said I would by email? And then I'll print out anything else. And when I am sitting in front of these slash buckets, I'm able to read my email correspondence and anything I've printed out and any notes that I've taken without being on my computer. And then I will go on my computer. I will find that last email and I will reply to it and I will print out the sent email and I'll put it back in this slash bucket and I will move them down. And by the end of the day, let's say I email 30 people, maybe 5 will have already emailed me back. So then I'll keep emailing them back. But what helps for me, I know there are email threads. Some of you may be saying this is crazy, although you wouldn't listen to this podcast. So pretty much you guys are like me. It does. It makes that email interaction a real life person in a little box in front of me. And also it's a project. So like, what is the purpose of leaving my house for 8 days and traveling to all these different cities and meeting all these people if I'm not actually going to follow up and keep up on the correspondence of what I learned? So this box that I've created of these 30 slash pockets that I'll use for about 6 weeks, at the end of that 6 weeks, let's say half of those people were nice acquaintances and they've come and they've gone, fine, I'll just take the little label off that slash bucket. 7 may end up being really good business partners going forward. And 7 more I may, you know, interact with for the next 6 weeks to 6 months, and then they'll move on. And so these slash pockets come in and out and in and out and in and out, but it's a way to kind of see your work that's going on in your head and in your email and on your calendar, like in physical form.
Yes. And that was huge. I know I told you I had a life event where I had to get my hip replaced. And that was one of the benefits is, you know, at home, I had my boxes and my slash pockets that I knew, and then I could check my email, even though I was off work, and I could see what I needed to do and stay on top of, because it just allowed me to still be a part of what was important and to focus on. And so I didn't have to feel when I was at home and off work that I was out of the loop, or that I was going to drop something, or that when I got back, I was going to miss, you know, whatever. Like, I was able to just focus on what I needed to and heal and get well, but know that I had this process and the system in place to pick up and take me on from there. And that's what's so beautiful about it is that it's, and the same thing with the organizing thing. I know that I didn't get my spices gone through this round of the 100, you know, but I know that there is a time and a space for that on my planner, you know, that will happen in the 100-day program in, you know, 3-4 months. So I don't have to have that weighing on my mind. It's external. It's fine, but there's a place for it. So yes, placeholders, it's so important.
Now, so with your students specifically in college that you have these little placeholders for them, do you also find yourself like, so what I find myself is like, I'll write a little note to myself. I'm like, oh, I want to make sure that I tell Johnny this next time I talk to him, and I'll put it in their slash pocket. Or I will see articles or news stories or things that I want to tell colleagues that are relevant to the field that they are studying, that I'm not going to stop and compose a whole email or anything, but I will literally cut out newspaper clippings and I'll put it in their slash pocket. And then when I get to corresponding with them, I'll be like, oh yeah, I wanted to share this thing with you. Or did you get a chance to read that study that I sent you? Do you do things like that in addition to the email?
Yeah. So two examples. One of the things that for a new teacher, when I come across something in my reading, that's an article I want them to be aware of, or something that I think of that I wrote on a note card that I know that would be relevant to that person, then it goes in that slash pocket. So either when I'm going to email or meet with them,
right,
I then have it and can remember and recall. And so what's been great is I have a student who had a baby, you know, well, his wife had a baby. And so he had written, you know, the beginning of the semester about being flexible, like what were my expectations and yada, yada, yada. So I'm able to just, because I don't ever get to see him, I'm able to ask him questions like, how did it go? You know, it's like a constant reminder. It's not like something that filed away now. And then I don't remember that this particular student just had a baby. That's a huge thing. Right. And, you know, and of course, so just little things like that. And 100% those little note cards is the same idea. I have note cards everywhere and I put them in, dump them into the workbox, and then they go in whatever slash pocket they need to go in. Or if I accomplish something, I rip it up, throw it away. And then my planner, I put everything in my planner. I know it's the 100-day organizing planner, but I do my tasks and meetings and stuff there as well. So,
yeah. And I add meeting notes into my slash pockets when I'm working with someone. Mm-hmm. I will always take notes either during or after a meeting, and then I'll just dump it in that slash pocket. And then when I'm going to meet with that person again, I'll just quickly go through anything I have in that slash pocket, email correspondence, notes I've written, meeting notes from our last meeting. I don't typically do this in Organize 365, but I did do it a lot when I was a teacher. And if we're creating a project, like right now we have the education workbox. So Monique and I have one, a checklist. So like we have a checklist. I have one in the slash pocket. She has one too. And when every time we meet, we go, okay, are we on track to launch this on time? When I was a teacher, I would have checklists for where they work. So I did a lot of individual instruction, so they could all be anywhere. And so I would constantly have checklists. Or if you are, like you said, with a co-teacher, you're going back and forth, like who has what, do when. So I put checklists inside of my slash pockets too.
Checklists are huge, especially one of the slash pockets that I have is for our new, we rolled out a new curriculum. So we did all the training for that. And then we had trainers come in and then we took information and then they gave us, you know, like the thing to look for is in the classroom. And then I also kept track of like for my grade levels that I'm responsible for, all of their trade books and things that they were given. So at the end of the year, I got to account for all those things so that new teachers that come in, that their materials are ready or look for. So all that is contained within the slash pocket too, is the checklist for those types of things. So 100%, I have lots of checklists and different slash pockets for different.
Yeah. People. So we've been talking, I think you said blue is your people color. And blue is the people color in the business workbox, the Friday business workbox we have out. I think blue in the new education workbox is actually your team color. So like your team would be blue. We've been talking about blue as being our student color. So each color inside of the education workbox has a specific designation, but you can obviously make them whatever color you want. So if you're already used to using the Business Friday workbox, and also inside of our Sunday basket, blue is the color of people. It's the color of family. You may say that blue is going to be your student color, but I know inside of the way the education workbox is set up, it's your team color as far as like your administrative team that is helping you in being a teacher. So when we created the education workbox, and you're part of the mastermind, we had like all these things we could do. And I was like, oh, you put a bunch of teachers in a room, you're going to get 80 million trillion ideas. You're going to see whatever that number exponential is. When you put teachers together, because all we do is have more and more ideas. And I remember after, I think it was after the first mastermind that Monique and I talked, and then I came back into the group and I was like, okay, we can't organize teachers teaching because there is no way to do it. We're too dynamic. We're too different. We're too passionate. We have too many different ways of teaching. So what we need to do is take the boring stuff, the administration, and really make a good system for that, because nobody wants to create that. They're like, how can we get that done as fast as possible? And what we realized was we didn't have enough slash pockets. Like, we were like, the amount of, if we had more, we could use more. So we literally took every single color we have, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple, and the multicolor pack. And that's how we created the education workbox. And every color means something. So like red is for your IEP 504 students or anything that's urgently important. Yellow is for anything that you do outside of the classroom, which could be copies, it could be running errands, it could be meetings, you know, whatever you consider outside of the classroom. Green can be money, but it also could be like your administrative checklists. And orange is just like the Sunday basket, anything you do on your calendar or on your computer. So we tried to keep it as close as possible to the Sunday basket and the Business Friday workbox. But I mean, just even us, and we already knew the problem we were trying to solve. Mm-hmm. We were even overwhelmed with the problem we were trying to solve. Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
We were how are we going to get this to work?
You reminded me, one of the things that came out of the mastermind when we talked about the orange folders, one of my slash pockets I had was for science. We were really wanting the teachers to teach more science. So part of the job was to make sure that they had all the supplies they needed so that they didn't have to think about that. So that fell on my plate for 6 through 8 to make sure they had all their supplies. So I changed that to orange because that involved me, you know, shopping and it had to be done. And then I had to deliver, which was a leave of, you know, and
yeah, go. Yellow.
So mm-hmm. yeah, so I 100% that came from that conversation. You reminded me my science supplies are orange because of that.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that we all noticed as we went through all the possibilities of what we could consider administration and all the different, I mean, we had a homeschooling parent, we had administration, a couple in college, in community yeah. college, in all levels of elementary education, private, public, like we really represented the whole gamut there.
Director of curriculum instruction. I think we had central yeah. office. Yeah. Assistant students.
Yeah. Everything, soup to nuts.
Everything.
And so, yes, you can make modifications to the administrative box. I think at the end, what we said was, okay, what do we really want to create here? And what we really wanted to create was something that would work for anyone in education at any level who was just starting out. Kind
so
of
what
like.
What you're telling me is that our education box is differentiated.
Yes, it is.
Perfect.
It is. So basically, if you're a brand new teacher at any level, this is all the stuff they didn't tell you you'll be doing. Like you learned in college, whatever you just got hired for, you are uniquely positioned and created to do that. You're going to be a rock star. It's going to be amazing. You're going to stay up late and you're going to get up early and you're going to love every minute of it. And you're going to make the transformation and you're going to grade all the papers. This is everything they didn't tell you you're also doing in addition to that. And I think that's the case. Like, not only we aren't told that we're doing that as teachers, mm-hmm. I don't think even administrators realize how many different things we are doing in addition to teaching. And so because nobody really has clearly defined what the administration of teaching is, no one's ever organized it. And so then you're just doing it here and there as you find out. You usually find out when you're late and it was due yesterday and now it's going to cost money or whatever. And so it's constant stress. No, this is the whole chunk of it. If you don't have any of these categories, don't do it. But if you do have this category, here's how we as experienced teachers have figured out how to get that done, and then you can modify it. But at least it gives yes. a new teacher or someone who feels like they've never really had a handle on that administration part, a guide, like a literal box with literal labels, and you can literally just fill it in.
Yes, it's totally, it will scaffold anybody through it. And I really love that about it because it can be for anybody from a college professor to somebody at central office to a principal yeah. to a para to a nurse, school nurse even. Like mm-hmm. I've wrapped my mind around all the ways that it is going to be helpful. And I really think I have data about the new teachers because we do the new teacher trainings and they just yeah. wrote a reflection on like what they were hoping for next, you know, or they hope they knew for the next new teachers coming yeah. in and give them advice. And a lot of it was around, man, I had no idea that I was going to have to do all these other things. And could we, as the instructional coach team, make sure that they are trained yeah. and aware and have a system set up because they felt like they were drowning. And that is another piece that's so wonderful about this is that it's helping, in my opinion, it's going to help keep our educators who are right. overwhelmed. It's going to give them, you know, the system to be successful so that they can focus on the teaching part that will fulfill them so that they're not drowning from this other part that will say, make them say, I'm getting out of here.
Right. So. And I do feel like teachers usually don't leave teaching because they don't like to teach anymore.
We've lost a lot of really good teachers because of, and I mean, I'm in a lot of communities across the nation. I mean, this is not a local problem. It's everywhere. It's just, they are overwhelmed with all mm-hmm. of the tasks that a teacher is responsible for from the breakfast count to the, I mean, we have a breakfast program and you have to count for each kid that takes it or doesn't take it. And if you don't fill out your breakfast sheet, and then it's like our middle school teachers have 150 students each and they've got it. And there's just so many of those things that you just get bogged down.
Mm-hmm. So. I mean, I don't think anybody, maybe you could think of a one-off. I just cannot think of any teacher I've ever known where you thought, oh, they're just mailing it in. They're just showing up, reading a book in the back corner. Like, no, I mean, they are literally running morning till night, trying to fit it all in and trying to do everything with excellence. I mean, teachers are lifelong learners. Like, you cannot be a lifelong learner and just mail it in. It's just not congruous. It just isn't a thing.
Yes.
And if you think of your children's teachers, there may have been some that you didn't match with personality wise, but you know, even those harder teachers, like they were doing what they thought was best and they were doing a good job. And so can you imagine, well, we already know from the Organized 365 podcast that you already have two jobs. You have whatever your job is during the day. And then you have your housework job that we've already figured out is 20 to 30 hours a week.
Right.
So if we already have two jobs, then that means teachers really have three. So their teaching job, they have their housework job, and then they have their administration job. And I think it is the invisible work of teachers that's never talked about because it has not been quantified to a level to which we could talk about it plainly from one department to the next or one state to the next or one grade level to the next and really talk about what is this invisible work that teachers are doing that's not teaching. And that's what
a lot of that, another slash tangent is the committees and stuff like and the teachers are the same way. They have all these committees that now, you know, it used to kind of be, you could sign up if you wanted to be part of the building leadership team, or if you wanted to be part. Now it's like, pick one, you're signed up for it. That's what you're on. You're on this tactic team. You're on this. And so everybody has to do something even in addition to that. So it's a lot.
So how are you using the education workboxes right now?
So for me, kind of the way I talked about is if that physical representation of a lot of stuff that's digital for me. And I, because of my job, have to have like three of them just because I need one for my middle school. I need one for my upper elementary. I need one for the district PD stuff. And then now I have my college course one. But really it is just that external place with the slash pockets of all the focuses and things that I don't want to lose sight of. We have goals, a job description as an instructional coach. These are the things that we're doing. These are the things that are important. And my boss meets with me on those meetings and see how I'm doing on my goals. And I'm not going to be like, when I was a teacher, I didn't remember what goal was on my form for evaluation. It was like, oh, take it out before it's time. Oh, what I do for this?
Right. Where's what was I supposed to be doing?
Yes. Now it's like, okay, I have my goal slash pocket. This is what I'm working on. Where's my evidence for that? Here's how I can talk about this. Because I look at it every week, or at least every other week when I go through before the next week starts, I'm always remembering what my focus is, where I'm wanting to have impact. And you said it. You said focus is the new currency. So, you know, I really want, I mean, that's extremely powerful. Now I don't have that anxiety of, you know, did I forget something? No, this is what was important, or my middle school box. This is what the principal said was important for this building. Is that where my work is with those teachers and with the PD for this building? And it reminds me every week. So I'm not losing focus of that. And I can't do that digitally. I just can't do it. Is it in my files?
I can't either.
Yeah. And the other thing that I put in my slash pockets too, is when I put something in Google, oftentimes I will label what it is in Google so I can find it later and put that in the
so me
so that I can know, okay, that's where that is. But what's happened over time is I'm finally getting pretty good at labeling and organizing within Google. I start with my year folder for 2022-2023 school year. Now I've got that one started. Start with my big buckets of things that have to happen. And now it's starting to make more sense, the order.
Right.
But originally, like, I was like, what did I name? I need to put down what I named or the search term that's going to pull this up because I got to find it later. So that's really it. It's like the brain outside the box there, or the box.
How long
is the brain, is my brain for all the different things I got to do.
How long does it take you to go through each of these boxes, and how often do you go through them?
So usually I go through them weekly, all of them. even if it's just really quick. But I try to go through each one a deep dive at least monthly, but it often doesn't happen. The deep dive doesn't happen until almost quarterly.
Okay. And do you know roughly how long it takes you to, when you sit down for these different
really
sessions?
It takes me about the same as the Sunday basket. It takes about an hour and a half, but it's not for all of them. It does not each one. So it's sometimes it can take a couple hours on a Friday, but to go through all of them, but normally it's about an hour and a half. I go through all of them.
Okay. So why did you decide to become an Education Workbox certified organizer?
Well, because of all the impact all of this has had on me, and because I'm an educator at heart, I can't imagine not sharing that with other people and being able to have that impact on them as well, so that they can have the relief and the keep what their focus is at the forefront, so that they can then impact their students or the teachers in their district or their community at large. So
how long do you think it took you to come up with, like, just take one of the boxes that you did to come up with what the slash pockets were going to be and then label them and then figure it all out?
Well, the first thing I did, I can't remember. Well, I ended up with piles. The first thing I did was take my paper piles and my notes and label them with post-its. And then I had my teacher workbox labeled the way that you had suggested, with that I had just taken the little sticky off of the post-it notes and put them on there, what they were, what they could be that you recommended. And then I would just, when I had a big enough pile, I was like, oh, that should be its own slash pocket. And I just replaced one of the ones that was labeled what it was suggested, and I made it that. And then I started noticing, oh, there's a lot of, the schools are more individualized. Like, I need to have my upper elementary and my, so then I started with, okay, I need a separate box to put that in. And so just really, it took time. I don't think you go in and say, this is what my labels are going to be.
Right.
I think it is over time, as you're seeing what big topic buckets and your focuses are, it's important. I would always say to start with whatever the district mission value statement is, think about your role under that. And then within your teacher, your list of your job description. And that way it keeps it, you know, really focused on what you're supposed to be focusing on. But then also, as you see other things pile up that aren't even part of that, then you can label those appropriately as they come in. I don't think you can just sit down and label it from the beginning.
Yeah. I think mine too, similar, like, so I do the Embrace Conference, you guys know that. So when I'm doing the Embrace Conference, it becomes its own box. And in there's like, okay, this is going to be session one, session two, session three, session four. They all have their own slash pockets. There's a slash pocket for the teen. There's a slash pocket for the goodie box. There's a slash pocket for the meals. There's like 25 slash pockets. Then the closer we get to Embrace, they start to come together. So like sessions one through four are put into a workbook, and then that just becomes one slash pocket for the workbook. And then we have all the meals ordered, and then there'll be one slash pocket for all the food for the entire event. And then by the time I'm done, I'm usually down to just five slash pockets. And when I'm done, those go into a binder until I do it again the next time. So I find for myself personally, I end up with a lot of slash pockets to start, because I don't, it's not that I don't know what I'm doing, but there's so many details about what I'm doing that I cannot group them yet, that like they need to be 30 people that I met in the last 8 weeks. It needs to be 30 separate slash pockets. Those will end up over the next 6 weeks into like, okay, people that are professional organizers, people that are, you know, brand contacts, people, and it'll end up being like five slash pockets from that time. And over time, it'll just be like spring trip 2022, and it'll have everything in there. And my brain will understand, just like you're saying in the digital, okay, spring 2022, that's when I made all these brand contacts and these professional organizers and these, like, that's all in there if I need that. And usually I won't even need that, because now it's actually in my brain and I could just, I can just find it, or I can find it digitally now, because that season of working with that material and those people will have passed. So if you feel like you're making 100 slash pockets to start, that is totally normal. And it's almost better to make more slash pockets so that you don't forget anything than to try to fit it into less slash pockets so that you're being effective. Like, don't try to be effective with your slash pockets. Like,
right. It's a process as you learn and go through, and then it becomes less and you become more strategic in your colors that you're using.
Yes.
You know, in the beginning, just get the pile, get a general label, put it in a splash pocket, worry about the color and all that stuff later. That's how I had to do it anyway. I couldn't comprehend. Like I would have to think, was this blue? Was this like, nope, just put it in a splash pocket. And then I would go through and listen to other podcasts from you. And then I started learning, okay, this is this color and this is this color. And I'm going to make this, this color, because in my mind, and just letting that kind of evolve over time. You just pull the little sticker off, relabel it. It's absolutely no problem. So.
Yeah, me too. And I think it's helpful to hear that, because I think a lot of people will get the Sunday basket or they'll get this new education workbox. And they'll be like, okay, well, I don't want to do it wrong. I want to do it perfectly. And I don't want to have to redo it. It's the organizing process. Like first you have to get everything out of your head and off the computer into physical form in front of you and keep moving it around until you get to the part where like you may be really good with your email and the idea of printing out an email makes no sense because you are so organized in your email, then don't do that. But you may need something else printed out, or you may need something else. Go with what is your weakest thing in slash pockets, not the thing that is your strength. So,
and that's the other piece of why I want to do this is because I learn better by doing it. So if I am helping to coach and facilitate others in the educator workbox, then I'm solidifying my learning in it. And so that helps me with what I need to. So that's another reason why.
If you want to learn something, teach it. That is the way to learn it. So Annie, how can our audience find you?
Well, I am in the Organize 365 community app. So for now, anybody can reach out there. And then eventually here, hopefully at the end of May or 1st of June, whenever we have that on the organizer directory, I'll be on there once we have that ready to launch.
Yeah, it's in process. Everybody's running behind the scenes to make sure that this all launches on time, but it will be there and you'll be able to find you in that education directory. And then your organizing events that you have will be listed in the events as well.
Awesome. I look forward to working with all of those wonderful educators out there.
Well, Annie, thank you so much for your time that you gave us inside of the Mastermind to help us create this new education workbox. And thank you for being a guest on the Organize 365 podcast.
Thanks, Lisa.